Praised be Jesus and Mary. In Lorenzo of Brindisi was born on July 22, 1559, in Brindisi, of course. His father died when he was a child. He went to a boarding school run by the Conventual Franciscans, a sort of minor seminary, where from the age of 7 or 8, the boys who were the internal students, the ones who lived at the school, would wear a sort of little Franciscan habit. He was a brilliant student, and there was a custom of having young boys in that city preach little sermons on certain feast days. And it was sort of a novelty, and St. Lawrence was chosen to do this. But the crowd found that this boy could preach surprisingly well. When his mother also died, St. Lawrence moved to Venice, where he had an uncle who was a priest and ran a school. There he got to know the Capuchins and decided to enter their order instead. His poor health was an obstacle. The Capuchins had an intense life of penance and insisted on good health in candidates. But by praying to Our Lady, Lawrence became well enough to be accepted. He had a prodigious memory. Already in the novitiate, he was able to indicate the chapter and verse of any passage that his companions could quote from the Vulgate, the Latin version of the Bible. He was ordained a priest in 1582, but his talents were so outstanding that he was assigned to preach for Lent in a Venetian church when he was still a deacon. He's called the Apostolic Doctor because he worked mainly as a preacher. He preached for Lent in many cities of Italy. In Germany, he defended the Catholic beliefs against the Protestants. His sermons, which are really his notes, fill 12 volumes in English translation, and there are untold notebooks that were lost. His preaching was thoroughly scriptural, and it showed his mastery of the Bible both in Latin and in the original languages. He would usually prepare his sermons in prayer, with no books besides a Bible, but he could quote the fathers of the church and could quote Greek and Latin classics from memory when it was appropriate. He was assigned by the Pope also to preach to the Jews. Of course, no one likes to be told that he's wrong, but St. Lawrence preached with such charity and erudition that they liked him more than any other preacher they had had. Preachers were to address the Jews in Hebrew if possible, and by a special grace from Our Lady, St. Lawrence spoke Hebrew so well that the rabbis thought that he must have been born a Jew. He even argued the truth of the Catholic faith from rabbinic texts. Besides his work as a preacher, St. Lawrence occupied various positions of responsibility in the order. He was the provincial superior first for Tuscany and then for the region of Venice. He served as a counselor and assistant of the general superior of the Capuchins. In 1598, he was elected provincial superior for Switzerland, a relatively new province with growing pains. In order to carry out his duties, he studied German. In 1559, he was chosen to lead the group of Capuchins that were to expand the order into Austria, Germany, and Bohemia. There, the Capuchins were needed to preserve the faith of Catholics and to bring Protestants back into the fold. They did this both by the holiness of their life and by their words of preaching. They worked alongside the Jesuits, the other outstanding missionaries in those lands. St. Lawrence founded friaries, strengthened the faith of Catholics, and reconciled many Protestants to the Church. Like St. Paul, he was an ambassador for Christ, God, as it were, appealing through him. In 1601, he served as head chaplain for the imperial troops that defeated the Turks at Alba Regia in Hungary. His courage on the battlefield and the miracles that he worked there made him famous throughout the courts of Europe. As the Turks were loading their cannons, he would trace a large sign of the cross with his crucifix full of relics. Then the cannons would fire and their balls would do no harm. In 1602, the Capuchins held a general chapter in which they elected St. Lawrence superior general almost unanimously. It was therefore his duty to visit all the Capuchins, and there were now 8,803 friars living in 713 friaries grouped into 30 provinces, and he only had 3 years to do this. Besides the Italian peninsula, they were also in the Holy Roman Empire, in France and in Spain. The last time that any Capuchin general superior had succeeded in visiting all the provinces was decades before, when the order had not expanded much outside Italy. But St. Lawrence was obedient, and he was going to obey the orders he had received from the general chapter. It was a prodigious march throughout Europe, lasting almost all of his 3-year term. He would walk 20 or 30 miles a day, and sometimes even more. At times he traveled through areas that were mostly Protestant, where Catholic churches were few and far between. Once on the vigil of St. Lawrence the Martyr, his patron, he and his companions walked 20 miles before noon in order to get to a church in time to say Mass. The strict Eucharistic fast of that time didn't allow even water. So our saint hadn't eaten or drunk anything since midnight. And this was August 9th, the day on which he could use a drink. At lunch, they learned that the next Catholic church was 40 miles away. So they walked another 20 miles before resting, and then, and this also while still respecting the fast required by the Friday and the vigil. When they woke up in the morning, they went the remaining 20 miles without anything to eat or drink so that they could all receive communion at the Mass on the Feast of St. Lawrence. This shows us how important the Mass was to them. After his term ended, St. Lawrence returned to the Capuchin mission headquartered in Prague, the capital of the Holy Roman Empire. His preaching was attended by members of the court and ambassadors, many of whom wanted his advice about policy questions. When he celebrated Mass in private, he would take his time and experience ecstasies. His private Masses gradually got longer and longer, taking hours. The emperor was weak-willed, and Protestants bullied him and other authorities into making ever more concessions, even as they failed to respect the rights of Catholics. Priests were killed, processions were attacked, and the territory of Catholic princes was invaded and occupied. A Catholic League was needed for self-defense, and St. Lawrence was sent as its ambassador to Madrid and Rome to secure financial support for its army. After he succeeded in this mission, he returned to Prague. A few years later, after the emperor died, he went back to Italy. God gave him power and authority to overcome all demons and to cure diseases, as St. Luke says of the apostles. Wherever he went in Italy, he was mobbed. He cured innumerable sick people and cast out countless demons. Somehow, crowds always seemed to know where he was, even when he arrived unannounced and secretly. Whenever he could get time away from the crowds, he spent it in deep prayer. He would get up at midnight and pray the breviary and then say Mass, typically taking eight to 10 hours to say it, and spending most of that time in ecstasy. In 1618, he was hoping finally to get back to Brindisi, his hometown, and see the church that he and a benefactor, the Duke of Bavaria, were building for the poor clares. But he was forced to turn aside and stop in Naples. The citizens there were suffering terribly from the bad government of the Spanish viceroy, the Duke of Osuna. He had hired a large army of mercenaries because he'd gotten it into his head that he wanted to fight a war against the Venetians. But the Spanish king and his council would have nothing of this. And so the Duke, in the meantime, needed money to pay the mercenaries. When they weren't paid, they would rob, rape, and kill citizens. And the only way to pay them was to keep raising taxes or inventing new taxes. The Neapolitan nobility couldn't take it anymore, nor could the people, and the nobles had the right to send an ambassador to the king. So they appointed St. Lawrence as their ambassador to King Philip III. When he tried to refuse, they presented him with an order from the Pope. There was nothing to do but obey. On May 25th, 1619, having escaped the Duke's assassins and overcome obstacles of all kinds, St. Lawrence reached the king in Lisbon. But just when negotiations seemed to be going well, he fell ill, probably due to poisoning. About a month later, he died on his 60th birthday, July 22nd, 1616. In the last century, scholars finally managed to decode his personal system of abbreviations so that they could publish his works. This made his teaching known and led St. John the 23rd to name him a doctor of the church in 1959. One of the most outstanding features of his teaching is his sermons on Our Lady, which fill the first volume of his works. He illustrates Our Lady's privileges extensively from Scripture, including doctrines that would only be defined as dogmas centuries later, like the Immaculate Conception and the Assumption. These sermons are the fruit of his superlative devotion to Our Lady. He credited her with everything that he had received: his life, his Capuchin vocation, his priesthood, his knowledge, and his supernatural gifts, such as the angelic purity by which he didn't even know what an impure temptation was. He said, "There is no grace, there is no benefit that a man receives that does not come from God through Mary." And he assures us, whoever entrusts himself to Mary will never be abandoned, either in this world or the next. Praised be Jesus and Mary.